Y'all new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. Joined by, it's a new series with Brady Quinn and Lizzie Newsable. What's up, fellas?
What up, Brinson? How you doing? How's everything going with you?
Who just calls him Brinson?
Brinson. Everybody does. Everybody Brinson?
I was about to say, usually everybody does.
Am I the only one who calls him Billy Boy?
My brother, I have like people in my family that call me Brinson, whose last name is Brinson. I mean, it's weird, man. I think it's because Will was a very common name for my generation.
Yeah, so why not go by Billy?
I can see that.
Why? I'm a Robert.
You look Billy. Like a Billy Brinson.
I'm a Robert. My dad's a Robert. My son's a Robert. He's Bob. I'm Will. He's Robbie. Like, if I'd been Robbie, then Robbie, my son, would be something else, maybe.
Hold on. So are you like the second or the third or something?
No, I'm a senior.
You're a senior, okay.
Bob Brinson is Robert Aiken Brinson. I'm Robert Williams Brinson, and Robbie Brinson is Robert Williams Brinson Jr.
Junior.
But he got the junior, I automatically get the senior. I think. I don't think I have to like apply for that.
All right. Glad we all learned that, right, Deuce?
For sure.
You literally asked me the question. Little history lesson
in the Brinson family.
Not long of an explanation.
It's been under 10 seconds. All right, we're gonna talk some rookie mini camp today. Brady started blowing up the group chat, talking about how he wanted to talk about, like, he was desperate to talk about Brennan Armstrong wheeling and dealing at the Kansas City Chiefs rookie minicamp. I know that's the top topic. Yeah. Brennan Armstrong, older than maybe a couple of people on this podcast. He's old, man. These COVID guys are old as hell. Like, Bo Nix is going to be 25 when he hoists the Super Bowl. He'll turn 25 right after he hoists the Super Bowl as a rookie for the Denver Broncos this year.
Wow. That is quite the bold prediction.
That's a take for sure.
Well, how about this? Yeah. Ryan Helinski is still in college football. I mean, go back and look how old he is. And he's
good Lord.
He's up there in age as well. But no, look, rookie mini camps are it's your first indoctrination into the NFL. And the interesting thing about it is, for me, like, I had to miss my graduation. So, like, I've graduated twice
me
now.
Me too.
Neither time I've been able to actually walk or do anything. So it was unfortunate, but at the same time, you're there with the rest of the rookies.
You repeated your senior year of college, or like what?
No, they don't give you 2 degrees for doing a victory lap like you did, Will. I know you tried to like work.
I only got one.
Yeah, yeah, don't lie.
I wore the track out. I still only got 1 degree.
That's not true. You would be like all the guys, like, what was it, Fast Times at Ridgemont High? Or
Val Kilmer.
I didn't get it. Val Kilmer. You mean Van Wilder?
Van Wilder, yes. I don't know why Van Wilder.
Same difference. They just look a little different now.
Yeah.
It's all your rookies. It's very rarely like you'll have veteran guys there. I don't recall any veterans from my rookie minicamp. Granted, this is back in 2007. But if they were veteran guys, they were probably more like a year or two into the league. Maybe they're on a practice squad. They hadn't quite got an opportunity. They were free agents. They signed to come on, or they were just, you know, trying to prove that they're healthy, but they had maybe been around for a year or two. Correct. That was probably the extent, because you need bodies. That's one of the things that a lot of people don't understand for rookie minicamps. Yep. Are you're at most doing 7-on-7. It's really hard to have an entire offensive line, D-line, and do much more than one-on-ones, but it is
like your first. Eno Benjamin was at the Chiefs minicamp, as an example. Like, you know, third-year player who, you know,
that's crazy. He's not signed anywhere.
The other thing is they've changed the way the practice squad rules work now. Anyway, it's much easier to be a practice squad player and actually be older in the NFL. You know, after you had gotten, those three games, that was considered an accredited season. You can only have so many of those before you weren't practice squad eligible. So even those rules have changed, where it might open it up more. Teams may be more open to having a guy come to a rookie mini camp, but. It's a quick crash course of the offense, pared down offense, and you're just out there trying to showcase. You have somewhat of an understanding of what you're doing out there. Try not to make it look too sloppy when you're doing doing team drills, and you want to be the leader, especially as the quarterback. If you're the one out there, obviously leading everything.
Well, let's take a look at the schedule real quick. We've got I think six teams held rookie mini camps last weekend, and the rest of the league. For you math majors, that's 26 teams. Does that add up? Eight columns. Is that right? Sounds about right. Two columns of four. I was about to say, I was like, that doesn't actually add up. Yes, the other 26 teams will hold rookie minicamp this coming weekend. I mean, I think, you know, you look at the teams that just held it. I mean, yeah, you certainly have interest in the rookies, but you know, we didn't get any of the star quarterbacks that of the six quarterbacks who you definitely want to see get out there and throw the ball around with their new uniforms. But I think there's a lot of excitement when it comes to that particular, you know, like that's got to be. I mean, I think with rookie minicamps, largely it's probably a skill position thing from a fan perspective that they're excited to see, right? Just because you're not, you know, you're like, you drafted edge rusher first, he's not out there, you know, really putting on a show, right?
I mean, it just depends. I think Brady literally articulated it perfect. Like, people don't understand when it's rookie minicamp, it's not just the guys that are undrafted free agents or guys that were draft picks. There's guys that they're on a tryout basis, like trying to just get an opportunity to sign on a team. And that's one thing I didn't know Brady going into rookie minicamp. I was so surprised when I got to locker room and saw all these guys from all different schools that were there on a tryout basis. And unlike Brady, there was a couple veterans in my rookie minicamp, and I thought it was weird. I didn't know that you could bring veterans in to try out during rookie minicamp. There was a guy that was year four in the league, and he was there. And it was, to Brady's point, he was coming off an injury. He wanted to prove that he was healthy, right? And he went out there and competed. Matter of fact, this year, I think Jarvis Landry's doing the Jacksonville Jaguars rookie minicamp, trying to get back into the league. So I think it's a little bit different than when me and Brady came out in 07 and 08. I think the thing, to your point, Will, when people look at rookie minicamp, it is about the skill position players. Because a lot of people don't get happy and excited about trench play, which we know is what really wins games. When I talk about trench play, O-line, D-line, and if you look at that first group, right, you got Olu Fashanu for the Jets that won the first round, Byron Murphy from the Seahawks. I mean, fans that are like deep and doctored into their team, they're probably excited to see some of those guys. But to your point, the quarterbacks are what sells, right? And we'll see this weekend. I know we're going to have story time later, but I got a cool story. Just like Brady, I also wasn't able to go to my graduation. And guys, this is how clueless I was about the NFL. When I found out that rookie minicamp was during graduation, I actually called and asked, is there any way that I could still go to my graduation and just show up for the first 2 days? And the guy on the phone with me, Brady, and this is me as an undrafted free agent, was like, yeah, I don't think you should do that. That's when I realized how much of a business this was.
I mean, the whole point of going to college is get a job. So, like, you've got that job now. It's a little different for, like, all those other people in the workforce. Maybe they haven't, but they haven't started yet.
Most people are like, all right, I'll start my job in a couple months. Like,
I'm going to start looking for a job after I graduate. You guys are like, all right, job starts now.
Well, yeah, and we don't really get to pick, right? They pick you. Correct. But the other thing that's interesting is usually the team will have some guys who are like local, like they're from that state. They're from maybe around that city. Maybe they played smaller college ball, you know, sometimes like D3, that sort of thing. I remember there was a high school quarterback who he was older than me, maybe by a year or two. So I'm not even sure like where exactly he had been. I don't know if he was in arena league or what else he was doing, but Rocky Pentello was his name. Awesome, awesome dude. His receiver, who you'll remember this name, Lance Moore. You guys remember that name from the New Orleans Saints?
Yeah, it was really good.
That was his receiver in high school. So Rocky, I remember, was there in a rookie mini camp. He had messed up his foot really bad, but like, you know, football culture is just different. And so I think it was his parents or something. They're like, you have to go. Like, you've got to try out. Like, you have to go to rookie mini camp. You have to be able to go do this. I don't know that they passed him on the physical, even though he was like, nope, I'm good. Like 100%. Like, I'm pretty sure it was like fractured, broken pretty bad, but it meant that much to him to get a shot, to put on the helmet, to go out there and like be a part of it. And so that's the other thing that people don't realize is for some guys, this actually is their last football. Like, they'll get a rookie mini camp and they'll be there and that's it. They don't get like another invite ever again. And that's the other crazy thing is like, for some of these guys, like, this is where the dream ends. For others, it's where it starts.
All right. Actually, I've got a pretty good example of that we can talk about when we come back after taking a quick break. We'll discuss who's coming in for the Broncos. That's a really interesting random local guy. Next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right. So I was reading on 9news.com. I think it was Mike Kliss who wrote this, but you might have dealt with Mike Kliss, Brady, right?
Love Mike. Mike's the best, man.
He's a good dude. Yeah.
One of the best to be around.
Yeah. Noted that obviously Bo Nix will be there and that that you have, of course, Troy Franklin, Aldrick Estime, you know, Jonah Ellis will be there, but he's 6 months out of surgery, so probably not going to play. But John Machota, do you know who that is? Not the Cowboys beat writer, friend of the podcast, but the Colorado School of Mines record-setting quarterback who doesn't have an NFL invite anywhere, but does have a chance to go play for the Toronto Argonauts in the Canadian Football League, is going to be got an invite to the Broncos rookie minicamp, along with, as Mike notes, Air Force safety Jaden Goodwin, Colorado State's Tony Pierce, outside linebacker, guard Oliver Jervis, Oregon's, Colorado Springs, Doherty. Oh, no, Joe Golden of Oregon State from Colorado Springs, Doherty High School. So to your point, Brady, this is the Broncos are sort of doing exactly what you talked about, which is you give an opportunity for these guys from local schools to come in, and by virtue of being there, you're maybe nothing happens from it, but you're getting a chance to throw in front of NFL personnel and NFL coaches who may see something they like, may end up going somewhere else, may bring in. You never know, right?
Right. You never know. And obviously you take every opportunity, exhaust all opportunities. The toughest thing about the whole Canadian Football League, transition for guys who play American football is the additional player, the forward motion. There's a lot of other things that kind of play a role in that. Obviously one less down, even the way that the field's configured. It's a bit of a different game. And so it's hard. Like a lot of people think like, oh, I can just go transition from playing 11 on 11. It's going to be similar. There's similarities, but it's definitely different. So it's tough. It's tough for a lot of those players that I think, especially as a quarterback, when you're being asked to see the field a lot differently. If you're a DB, for example, can the guy play man-to-man in cover? Can he play off zone? Does he have the skills, right? Like it's a little easier to transition because your job's not quite as dependent on knowing everything that's out there and everything that's going on. Different for quarterbacks. So hope it all works out for him, man. Colorado School of Mines, I remember when I was out there. Is that the school that I'm pretty sure they sling it around a decent amount? I don't think they punt much.
Oh, they don't run the ball at all. And also, all. Brady, if you ever seen some of their pictures for like their football pictures,
yeah,
like get a chance, look up School of Mines in Colorado. Just look at all the football players' pictures, man. It's something to look at for sure.
Okay, I'll check that out. But if I'm not mistaken, too, I don't think they punt. Like, weren't they one of those teams that implemented that strategy, I think, at the college football level where they're extremely aggressive offensively? I could be thinking of someone else.
Yeah. No, that sounds right.
I know they're always one of the top schools in Division II, though, for sure.
I'm trying to think what his – so he threw for 4,778 passing yards in 2022 with 52 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. And then last year followed up by going 14-1, threw for 4,298 passing yards with 70% completions and 43 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. 162 passing touchdowns in his college career.
What are you pointing to, Brady? I mean, all the series, these like crazy looking white boys, dudes. I was like,
bro, I told you it's something to look at, man.
I assume that's what we were going to get was crazy looking Caucasian.
Is that a sticker or a face tat?
I think it's their logo. I think it's like a sticker tat. Like you can wipe it off.
Try looking at Colin Romero.
He's got to be on mushrooms, right? I mean, like
Nate Sutter looks like he's going the cross-eyed. He has to be
on mushrooms or something. I don't know. My goodness. It's probably legal out in Colorado. I mean, Lord knows you didn't.
I just know they usually are pretty good every year, though.
Someone needs to look at the Blake Ramsey headshot for the Colorado School of Mines. He's got the old
I actually feel like it's Colorado School. I'm trying to think. Me and my brother and my dad were out in Colorado for Widespread Panic concerts in like 2019. I know my dad really wanted to go, and he did. He really, really wanted to go.
No, it's the pictures, man. It's not you, Will. Trust me, it's not your story. Okay. You're not even there yet. You're still telling it.
I thought you were laughing at my dad to go to Panic.
No, I'm laughing at Chandler.
Let's look at it. To behold those pictures.
Let's bring them up. Toss them up.
You're Harry to bring them up, man. I thought
you somehow had like seen them. All right. Anyway, moving along. I'm not going to tell the story about Panic. You don't need to hear it. Okay. All right. One. There we go.
That's almost like rookie hazing, Brady. Like when you got to get the haircut, like your rookie year.
Yeah. That's what they gave to Tim.
Tim Tebow. Yeah. It's the monk haircut.
You got to go down to the center. Pugensi, I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce his name, because he's got not only the hairdo, he's got the mustache to go along with it. It's pretty solid.
Did we give it up? Let's see.
I don't think we did. Oh. You find it?
I was looking up Brady Quinn's shaved head and found it.
Oh, God.
And then there's a picture of some Broncos rookie who got a rat haircut. Were you part of this?
What do you mean part of this?
I don't know. Like I googled Brady Quinn shaved head, and this guy popped up. It's like Brady.
Denver was synonymous with always doing like the most craziest haircuts.
Yeah, we didn't haze anyone or anything.
Yeah,
in fact, I'm pretty sure
you're blatantly a Hayes beast.
No, I never participated in any of that crap.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think
he had to shave his locks.
Yeah. Well, I played young when I was a freshman, and I played young in high school when I was a freshman. So it was always like the older guys were kind of around me, but like they wouldn't do anything. Well, I was bigger in high school, but then once I got to college, it's like, well, you're playing right away. So how are you really going to haze the kid as much? Like you need to be like ready to go.
No, you can't haze a freshman quarterback who's starting for the team, right?
No, I'm just saying like it's a little more difficult. Like hazing is usually for the guys that are still learning the ropes and all that stuff. Right. You know, they're kind of like a little bit of slappies out there. But when, like, for example, I think when John Fox got there in Denver, like there was like no hazing, like no one was messing with Von Miller. I can promise you that. Like Von was just
that is.
Well, no, Von participated. I remember him getting a haircut too.
I don't remember that.
It was quite ugly.
Oh my goodness!
If you can zoom in on his mustache. He has like a nice little handlebar mustache too. This is great.
What the hell?
So for all the people out there listening, this does not happen until training camp. This will be at the end of training camp. You get this sort of thing. This is obviously he's a redshirt sophomore, so I'm not sure what's going on.
If you're listening to the podcast, this is Chandler Pogensee, the center for Colorado School of Mines. Just Google that name, Chandler Pogensee, and check out his picture. It is well worth your time.
Civil engineering.
I said, what a badass.
Yeah.
Did you guys feel when you got to rookie minicamp? Did you feel over your head, or obviously like it complete juxtaposition of how you guys got to minicamp, just from a Brady, you were first round pick, dudes, UDFA, and like I just wonder like how that like what that juxtaposition was like for, because I mean the expectations are different, but also like very. I mean, same kind of thing because you're a rookie, right? I mean,
yeah, and I think like coaches and people would play into it, and that's how I felt, dudes. I mean, when you get there in college, it's like they talk you up, they hype you up, then you get there, and now it's like they don't know you, and they're like, oh, come on, freshman. When you get there as a rookie, it's that kind of same thing. You've got this friendly rapport from the interview process or the combine, and then once you get in there, it's like, all right, rookie, come on, do it again, do it. I said this, and you'll be like. I know for a fact he said this. He's like, I said the other thing. You run that. You're a rookie. You got it wrong. It was like almost like a type of hazing of its own, just being a rookie and then seeing how you dealt with the adversity, dealt with intensity. Because, again, you're not – the vets aren't there. And, it becomes much more intense when there's jobs on the line. And that's one of the things you realize, too, at the rookie minicamp when you start doing one-on-ones. You start doing whatever team drills you can do is the intensity that comes along with it because – It's a make or break time for some of those guys out there.
Yeah, and to echo what Brady said, I think that was the biggest thing, and I kind of mentioned it earlier, the business of football. Like before you were in college, and it's a little bit different now because these guys are kind of like in a business mindset with NIL and everything. But when me and Brady came out, we didn't have that, right? So like I think that was the biggest thing for me, like realizing how you had to flip that switch and realize this is like your job, this is a business. And I think the realization was like after minicamp, there were guys that got cut after minicamp, and guys that outperformed them during that minicamp that were on a tryout basis got signed to the team. So that lets you knew, like, it lets you knew right there, like, how real this was. I think my biggest thing was when I came in, I was pissed off, Will and Brady, because I was undrafted, right? Yeah. So I wanted to prove each day of practice that, they made a mistake by, for one, not drafting me, but that I also belong. So, when I went out there, I showed my versatility of playing D-tackle, defensive end, and I always tried to make a statement. And then I think what Brady alluded to earlier was, like, also your leadership skills. Like, they want to see who's going to, stand out, who's going to bring everybody together. Somebody struggling, with the playbook, are you talking with them on the sideline, right? Because at the end of the day, you guys are all grouped together as rookies. Yes, you're fighting for jobs, but they also want to see who's going to rise to the top, who's going to rise up under pressure. And also what Brady said, the mental capacity of it. Like those coaches are purposely testing you to see how do you respond to adversity. So like I tell people all the time in the NFL, like everybody is skilled. Everybody was the best player on their team. The guys that mentally can take it are usually the guys that last a lot longer than the guys that can't mentally take it, right? Because you got to be able to learn the playbook and then regurgitate that on the field. Literally, your meetings are like 2 hours before that. And whatever you learn in the meetings, you got to be able to on the fly do that on the field, and they want to see who can do that and withstand the pressure.
It's actually the last time too you will get really good fundamental attention and coaching.
Sure.
Because once the veterans get there, it becomes about the roster. It becomes about like who they're keeping, who they're not. It becomes about installing the offense and whether or not you can kind of keep up, be ready to go try to play and win football games. And if you can't, like, it doesn't matter. Like that, like no one's focusing. Like this is really for guys who are drafted there and all that. Like it is the only chance you're really going to have at this point to get that sort of coaching and fundamental work. Cause you just, again, you don't have enough bodies to have a team period. And they know, obviously,
you mean during the off season, right? Not you like during the off season, preseason in terms of the fundamental.
Again, Will, I'll say it again. This is the last time the entire season.
Yeah,
rookie gets the type of attention and coaching because everything else is focused on winning. It's all in their job security, winning and losing games. And you just don't have time to be able to devote to work with the rookie separately from what you're doing with the veteran guys. And then once the veteran guys get in there, that's more the focus. Like they're catching back up on like, what tweaks are we making? What changes are we making? Who's the new personnel? You know, how does that kind of match up? Other guys are coming back from injury. So they're kind of testing stuff out. That's the focus. It's like, that's then towards the season of winning. It's not on like getting you ingrained into the offense, into the culture and seeing what you're capable of. So it's really the last and only time a rookie has where like you get the focus and you get like really good fundamental coaching. And then at that point in time, you just got to kind of hang on for dear life. Cause it's not about you after that.
Yeah.
Well, terrifying.
Before we go on, I just wanted to ask Brady. So like your rookie year, did you guys actually live with the vets? Cause I know us, we didn't live with the vets. And then like, when we did OTAs, after OTAs, we actually had like rookie, like kind of like rookie college after that, where we got to spend time with the coaches. I didn't know if it was different on your squad.
Yeah, so we didn't lift with them because you had your different rookie programs mixed in. And oftentimes, you know, there would be some veterans in there with you, but you know, you're so new to the program and you hadn't been given whatever the take-home program was, that they kind of had more of a baseline approach for the workouts. For strength and conditioning and everything. So it was a little different in that respect for us, but it was just different in the sense of like, it was just the last time you really got where you didn't feel as much of the intensity, at least with the coaching staff in the meeting rooms. Even in meeting rooms, you'd feel that, you know, once you got the veterans there, like, I mean, you're being evaluated, you're being criticized, you're trying to prepare for the season. And you're talking about roster, you know, as far as some of the different players around there. I mean, quarterbacks kind of always did their own thing working out and meeting, but in this case, like as rookies, yeah, we were probably separate for a little bit too, just time-wise with the schedule.
How much of the playbook were y'all like soaking in at the rookie minicamp, or is it more about fundamentals and more about sort of like, you know, getting to know, you know, the coaching staff? Because I mean, you meet them in the process, but you don't like, you know, you don't work with them that much leading up to it, right?
It's probably like 3 days worth of stuff, like very vanilla.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so not a lot.
What they want you to do, Will, they want to see what people can actually do, right? They don't want guys thinking too much while they're out there. They want to see them at their best selves to go out there and make plays. Because like Brady said, you're being evaluated. Even if you sign as an undrafted free agent, or I've seen even some late round draft picks, which is weird, potentially like 7-rounders get cut after rookie minicamp, right? Because I guess they didn't go out there and they weren't focused. So they want it to be as seamless as possible. They want to see you in your element. They want to highlight what you do well, and they want you to go out there and make plays. So they're not going to give you that much of the playbook. The funny thing is, like Brady said, it's 3 days. It's right Friday. And when we went out, it might be a little different now. When we went, we had 2-a-days on Fridays, 2-a-days on Saturday, and then we had a half a day on Sunday. I don't know if they're legally allowed to do that anymore. But nowadays, right, it's not as bad. I don't think the practice schedule is as long, and they don't do as much. So they literally probably even cut that down. And whatever you learn in those 3 days, you're probably going to learn it that very next week once you get back to, you know, OTAs with the team, because it's different. Like you just talked about it, Will. 6 teams went this last weekend. So those 6 teams, they'll get to go home for about a week, pack up, and then come back. But the guys that are coming in this weekend for rookie minicamp, they're staying all the way through the offseason program before they take that break before training camp.
It's comparable to this. It's like drinking from a garden hose. When the veterans get there, now it's from a fire hose.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
So sipping out of a garden hose, as long as the water's not, you know, is decent enough quality. Like, you know, you always do that as a kid, right? Fire hose, not so much. The man, it's so crazy how the NFL offseason schedule moves, where it's like, all right, you know, for us in the media now, it's like, okay, we got a little break here, got a window here until training camp. But you really, I mean, you do, but you really don't. I mean, first OTAs for like the Chiefs, who had, you know, their rookie minicamp this past weekend, May 20th through the 22nd, and then 28th through the 30th, and June 4th through the 7th. So yeah, the minicamp 11th through the 13th. I mean, it feels like for rookie. I mean, like you say, it's just like all of a sudden you get through the draft. It's the happiest time of your life. You know, you're like going to make an NFL team, and then bam, it's just, you're going to hit left and right with like information and work. Right.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Brady can agree with this, and you can check me if I'm wrong, Brady. Your rookie year is the longest year of your NFL career. Like literally because of what you just said, Will, you literally go from all, like you go through a season, then you go through all-star games, right? Then you go through the combine, then pro days, private workouts. Then you talked about getting drafted, and literally either that next weekend or the weekend after, you go to rookie minicamp, and then you're with the team already. So there's no break. And then what people aren't talking about, Brady, is even though the veterans, you know, you get with the veterans around this time, you stay about 2 weeks after. Like when I came in, we stayed like a whole 2 weeks after the veteran left. And then, so that means your break between training camp is a lot shorter. And then to top that all off, Brady, a lot of times rookies come in a week before the veterans come in training camp. So without a doubt, we hear people talk about, Brinson, that rookie wall. It's because your rookie year is the longest year of your career. And just imagine if you go to a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, which you want to, or the Baltimore Ravens, you're going all the way to February, most likely, right? So you're talking about February to February without a break, your rookie year.
That's wild. I mean, if you're in like a national championship team in college, you're still like done, you know, you're done early, like the middle of January, you know? So, I mean, it's a lot longer. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, talk about rookie. Has the NFL made life better for rookies transitioning into the league? We will discuss next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Okay, so the Rookie Symposium, which is now the Rookie Transition Program, is it good? Was that helpful for y'all? I'm sure it is. I just want to, I do feel like now, like versus like 10, 15 years ago, there's a lot less, and I think this is true for kids in general at that age. I could, like, you know, at the 18 to 22, you know, year old, like, I feel like kids are just more responsible these days than maybe we were. And I don't know if that's social media or like or raise standards for like going to school or hyper, you know, an insane generation of helicopter parents. I don't know what the specifics are, maybe more awareness of stupid things you shouldn't do. But it does feel like, generally speaking, we get like less disaster stories about rookies coming into the NFL where, like, don't you think so? No,
no, I think it's about the same.
Really?
Think it's about the same.
I feel like there's just not that many, like you're not writing like these, like, you're like, well,
Jamarcus, maybe you're Bruce. Not. Breach still is. Breach is still looking at a little hanging fruit out there.
I don't know. I feel like the rookies are a little more responsible, and maybe that has to do with the sort of the overarching educational process. I don't know.
I would say this, and Leger touched on this earlier. These kids are going through the era now of NIL. And I think even more so than that, you know, even the way that they were recruited, and they're more, at least regionally, maybe statewide, or like household names, coming out of high school, when you start getting big offers from colleges, you're more well known. Like, you've grown up now in an age of just having technology at your fingertips. And so you know more about those prospects, even from high school to college, college to NFL. And so with that, I think there's a lot of people who have, you know, really taken the time to realize that, like, hey, I need to be more mature. I need to be aware that, like, I'm growing up in a society with a camera phone. Nothing I do is going to be private. Like, everything's right. going to be public out there. So I think it's a credit to the kids, the parents, like a lot of the people that are probably at the high school levels preparing them, college levels preparing them. But I do think the rookie transition program is a good thing, you know, for players. There's a lot of stuff that, like, you know, you're just not accustomed to. You know, maybe that'll be different for the future college football player if they unionize. But you're like, what does it mean to be a part of a union? You know, why am I paying at the big, you know, right away they're like, ask for $10,000, right? For union dues.
You're going, they told me that. I said, what?
are you serious? I don't want to be a part of this group.
The ref comes secretly to, like, everybody's locker room is like, you know, we need you to sign this, you know, for your union dues. And we're like, I got to give you what?
Yeah.
And I was an undrafted free agent, so I'm like, I got to give you what?
Do you have to do it, or is it like
no one really does,
but
nobody doesn't do it. Yeah.
There's a group licensing agreement too, which is like gives you the ability to, you know, make money and you share in some of the revenue and all that stuff. But
if you don't sign the NFLPA agreement, you can't be in Madden, for example. You can't get
they would have to negotiate with you separately, or you just have like a number. Like, you just be the
Marvin Harrison Jr. is going through that right now. Right.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, again, everyone can kind of choose and, you know, pick and choose their own battles, but it's just interesting. Like, I think the union part of it was probably the one that you're like, you sign up for stuff that you don't even know that you're a part of in regards to your collective bargaining agreement.
Correct.
And what's there for you. And so just to be able to have a program that they explain it to you, they bring people in, the NFLPA comes in, that's incredibly helpful. Because I don't care who you are, I don't care how you were raised. Most people are not aware of every one of the benefits, everything the NFL does for their current players, former players. It's just a lot to take in while you're still trying to learn an NFL offense, trying to figure out where to live and all that stuff. So it is a great program. Although I will say this from the Rookie Symposium, which is the old name they used to use, Chris Carter did speak. He did say that he was a fall guy. All right, but he did. He did, and this would be fun to bring up on the screen, Will, if you can. He did bring up Calvin Johnson. I'm pretty sure it was like Debo, Dwayne Bowe, and Robert Meacham on the stage. Might have been Ted Ginn. But he brought up like the wide receivers that we had there. I think. I can't remember. I know for a fact Calvin Johnson was there. I'm pretty sure Robert Meacham came up too from our class. But he was like, man, you guys aren't going to go in this league, do anything different than we've ever done. He's like, don't think you're going to go. He's like, don't disrespect the Shield. He gave us this whole talk. It was a good talk, but like, he brought these dudes up and he was like, you know, you guys would be lucky to have my yards combined. Lucky to have all this. And I was like, damn, dude, that's Calvin Johnson, though. I was like, I don't know about that. Like, he's different. Like, he's different.
Chris was different too in the league.
So,
Calvin Johnson's literally bigger than Chris Carter, like, yeah, on the stage.
And it's not even just that, is the fact that to me, I'm like, all right, well, that's fine, but like, these dudes have dreams too. Like, why try to put a cap on walking into the league, like, what they're gonna be capable of? Like, I get the sentiment, but at the same time, like, then I'm like, all right, well, Calvin's there, so we're good because he's gonna have a Hall of Fame. Yeah. I'm like, did you see this dude at the combine? Like, he's that big and he's running like a 4.440 or 4.3, whatever the hell he ran.
4.3, and he wasn't even gonna run. He didn't stretch or anything.
But did he have a Hall of Fame career? And he didn't have to play that long. Like, think about that.
That's not the group that you. That's not the guy you want to be saying it in front of. Like, the one guy you don't say it in front of. You know, even maybe like Larry Fitzgerald, you could, you know, like, coming out of Pitt, you're like, all right, look, like, if you have my career, that's a great career. But it's like Calvin Johnson is very clearly going to have a monster career, no matter who was that quarterback. Any memories for you from the symposium, dudes, that stood out or how that worked? How it didn't?
Yeah, the interesting thing was when I came out, when you were undrafted, you didn't get to go to symposium. Right. So I actually had the privilege of going year 8 and I got to interview all the AFC rookies, part of the NFL, this NFL program that we did. And for Brady, it was probably easy, right? Because he didn't even have to go far to go to the symposium, because it was also always right outside of Cleveland, where the rookie symposium was. I do have a neat story, though. I don't know if you guys did this.
Parents drive you, Brady?
We actually had it down in Palm Beach. We actually had
Really? Oh, that's right. It does change. It changes from year
to year. They used to have it.
The year I went was outside of Cleveland.
Yeah. So they used to have
Palm Beach, is like Florida,
I want to say, or like out on the West Coast.
Correct. That's right.
They would try to pair it with the rookie premiere, which was where you would take pictures and all that stuff. So it would be somewhere in the ballpark around the same time.
Yeah. So my rookie year, and I don't know if Brady did this because he came out the year before me, they had every rookie fly to the Hall of Fame. I don't know if they had you guys do that, but you guys were right there, Brady, so I'm sure you guys took a trip to it anyway.
We did.
I remember us flying and seeing a few other teams there, and I thought that was really cool. Funny story is we all had went out the night before, and everybody was struggling on that plane. Like, we had to fly commercial because it was just the undrafted and guys that got drafted, so it was probably like 13 of us, right? And we were struggling on that plane. And then when we got there, it was really cool to see all the history of the NFL. But going back to the symposium and comparing that to the rookie transition program, to me, the symposium made a lot more sense, just because Brady kind of alluded to this earlier. When you're a rookie, you're just trying to figure out how to be a pro, right? And a lot of times these programs would happen like after practice or a Monday, you know, during the season after we've watched film and lifted weights. And at that time, you're just trying to get home and relax on that Monday, right? Because it's been a long week. The game was on Sunday. You come in Monday, you watch film, you lift your weights, and they'd have some guy in a suit come and talk to you, and you're like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not really locked in. Right? Well, the symposium, to Brady, like Brady said, you're away for 4 days. You're literally locked in on, you know, guys like Chris Carter coming in to talk to you. They bring in financial guys to talk about, you know, financial literacy. And then you hear, like, you know, stories from guys that have struggled in the league that maybe went broke in the league. So to me, I like the symposium setup, just because you went away for 4 days to literally focus on what that transition was like for a rookie. With the rookie transition program, I think it would hit more if they would actually bring in some of the guys that they brought in for like the combine, guys that players could relate to. Right. Because a lot of times, Brady, you talked about it, bringing somebody from the NFLPA that, you know, is in a suit that's not really relatable to a lot of players, I'm not going to listen to him. Right. But if you bring in a guy like, you know, a Chris Carter or a Shady McCoy or somebody that maybe had some issues, you know, fumbling some money, guys would be more apt to listen to them and maybe not make the same mistakes. And then also to listen to them to see what it takes to be a pro in this league, like as far as taking care of your body, you know, your film study habits and things like that. So I think that's one place where the NFL could make some leeway. I think for each team, they should bring in a legend for that team where guys would actually look up to that guy and listen to him, because I think it falls on deaf ears when you bring in somebody that maybe didn't play or played so many years ago that it's really hard to assimilate who that player was for the team. And those young players are going to be like, well, you know, I know he was a great, but I don't know who he is, so I'm not really going to listen.
Well, to that same, like on the same notion, I've seen the gambling policy, like PowerPoint that they give to players, and you're like, and I'm like trying to like follow it for work purposes, you know, so I can write about it or whatever, and I'm like, oh my god, this lady that's like giving this presentation,
exactly.
I mean, yes, like oh, just wake me up when you tell me how I can hit these parlays, lady.
Calvin Ridley's saying the same exact thing.
I know. She's like, I thought this is a gambling hotline. Where are the tips here? I just think that like if you brought in, I don't know, bring in Jameson Williams to say, hey, here's what I thought was okay. Here's what I thought, you know, here's what it turned out. Here's how I got in trouble. I think the real life experience in those regards certainly helps a lot more. All right, let's talk about the rookies and their performances, because that's the most important part. Hey, be a man, be a pro, get out there and save all the nice stuff they say to you. But rookie quarterbacks to start week one. Suffice to say, Caleb Williams will start week one, right? Nobody,
Biggest shock if he wasn't out there week one.
I think it would almost have to be injured or like in jail to not start week one.
Oh my god, why you gotta put that man in jail,
bro? Yeah. What happened?
Well, I mean, like I don't know. You tell me.
All right. Jane Daniels, number two.
Exactly. Check. He's going to start.
He starts Drake, for sure, right?
Drake May.
I don't think Drake May should start.
I think they'll start Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, right. I do too.
I will bet Drake May on that one.
By the way, on the Patriots and Drake May, really quick, how weird is it that they're conducting a GM search now?
I mean, it feels like Elliott Wolf has been acting as their general manager. Right. I know he's been setting up for it. So why not just elevate him? Maybe it's the way you got to feel like you got to prove yourself. You know, I'm not sure what the rationale is behind it, but I would think Elliott Wolf is in the best pole position to get it.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird to, and I just wanted to make a note of this because to me, it speaks to sort of the maybe some concerns you could have about how this franchise is being run now post Belichick era, in the sense that Elliott Wolf is the interim GM through the draft. If you're the interim GM, you're doing whatever you can to appease the people who might potentially hire you. Like, you were basically being like, hey guys, what do you want? Like, well, you know, you're making your moves, but you're probably making your moves to make them happy, which I think is potentially a little concerning.
Well, hold on. It is. But at the same time, you don't want to make those moves purely to make them happy. Then all of a sudden you get the job and you're like, oh, what was I thinking? Like,
another team that could potentially want a GM. They see the moves you make and they're like, we can't hire you. We just saw what you just did in the draft.
I think Drake May was the right pick. I'm just saying.
Okay, and by the way, a little bit for the rationale as to why. Obviously, you took him number three overall, all right?
Yep.
It's hard to think that they're not going to, but for this reason, too, they stuck there. They had a number of teams who tried to trade up with them, and they
For future first-round picks, too.
Right. So that says something, too, and it's no disrespect to Jacoby Brissett. He could easily go in and start and play well and probably be able to immediately give them a level of veteran play that would be able to be more helpful winning. But you drafted the guy number three overall for a reason, man. You got to sell something to that fan base. And I think there's just too much behind that to not let him go in there and go play. Again, barring he's not injured or in jail, too. Why don't we throw that in there, too?
Hey, look, if Drake May beats out Jacoby Brissett, it'll be the first time he's beaten NC State in his entire life. So that
Wow. My thing is, Brady, are you not worried with his deficiencies, him starting too early and potentially ruining his career, especially with the lack of
I would say the same talent. Thing about Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams. Like, you're worried about any young rookie starting right away. Like, you don't know what you don't know until you get into it. And that's the hard part for a rookie starting right away is you get in there and you're like, oh, like things switch up a lot faster. Defenses can do so much more throughout the course of the game than what you had or what you experienced in college. So, yeah, I'm worried about all those things. Like, would you rather let him sit behind a veteran like Jacoby Brissett, watch how he prepares week in, week out, watch how he handles the team, the sideline, all the operations, everything else that it means to be a starting quarterback in the NFL? Of course. Like, I think we'd all rather watch someone else touch the hot stove and then be like, ooh, that's hot. Like, I don't need to touch it because I want someone else to do it.
Some people are still going to touch it, Brady.
And that's the problem is they got some other issues going on. But I think you get my point. Like, you'd rather, you know, that's a luxury to have. And that's the position Michael Penix Jr. is in. So he's probably got one of the best shots to be able to go in there, not have to start. And, you know, we'll see what he's capable of.
I remember it's been so long, but I think with you and Derek Anderson, right, wasn't it you weren't holding out. There was
we didn't agree upon terms yet.
You didn't agree upon terms. I know, but we went over this. We've been over this before, and I think the phrase "holding out" has been applied. And as you correctly pointed out, it was the two sides couldn't agree on terms. But back then, teams could basically leak out he's holding out, and everybody would run with that.
They can still do it today.
but the player can go on social media today and tweet and say like, no, "I'm not holding out. Like, this is, you know, here's where we're at."
They didn't want me to start anyways, though. That's what they never.
That's what sort of I was getting at.
Yeah, like, it's just wanted.
Well, I just wanted to see if I could get you mad about the holding out thing.
No. But to your point, like, a lot of people behind the scenes knew that, but obviously, you know, they didn't. The whole thing was, it was what it was. But like, I knew going into it, like, Charlie Fry and Derek Anderson were who was competing for the starting spot. And the crazy thing to me was just how fast, like, you talk about NFL, like, you know, how you doing rookie or hey rookie moment. I mean, Charlie got benched our week one game versus Pittsburgh at home after everything that offseason to prepare him for. And then they put in Derek, and then they trade him right after that. I was like, crazy. Whoa. Like,
was that when they traded him to Carolina?
I thought it was to Seattle. I could be wrong.
I think it's to Seattle. I think Seattle's right.
Yeah. Amazing. But either way, like the thought in my head, honestly, was as all this is transpiring, I felt bad for Charlie. Yeah, that's how I reacted. I was like, whoa. I was like, Will Brinson. Whoa. But no, in all seriousness, I think I was going from like a public event where I found out and I was like, holy crap. Because someone asked me, and I was fortunately with Amy Palsik, who like called me, talked me through it. Because I'm like, I don't know how this all works. Like, how do we talk about this, discuss this? But in my back of my mind, what I wanted to say was, like, one, it wasn't fair to Charlie because you prepared him basically and gave him this small opportunity and then just ship him off. It's like, well, I would have gladly taken those reps. Like, every one of those reps you were giving him, the OTAs, mini camp, training camp, like, I would have gladly taken those. So that was the tough thing about it is, like, it wasn't like we missed a ton of practice or anything else in the beginning of training camp where we had agreed upon terms, but it was more of like, well, they probably would have done the deal if they thought there was a chance that I was actually going to play my rookie year, but they had two guys who they liked and they were having basically battle for it.
That is insane in hindsight. And I don't think you'd see it in the modern NFL where the first round drafted quarterback gets no reps at the expense of Charlie Fry and Derek Anderson. All you know, due respect to those different two guys, time. But like, it's insane that they set you back by doing that.
And I remember I came back and obviously I was very aware of everything. And I told my agent, because my agent, I was like, look, you know this better than I do. And there was times when he was like, hey, they're not answering the phone or it's hard to get in touch with them. Whether or not that was true or not, I don't know. You know, like only those parties know. But I told him, I was like adamant about making it back in time for the first preseason game. So I was back in time for it, but they were like adamant about not playing me. Like they were like, no, you're back, but we're not going to play you for this. That's almost crazy. As punishment, which I'm like, dude, we have four of these. Like, come on, give me an opportunity. I knew the last two I'd get more time, but those are some of the things like looking back on it. You're like, man, that was just crazy how all that had worked out.
I think too, now it's because of the new, like the newer CBA and the newer offseason rules that it's like, you can't mess around with not giving rookie quarterbacks in particular every chance they get, which may be why we see Drake may end up starting. Penix, we don't think will start barring a Kirk Cousins injury or setback, right? I mean, that's like, correct. They can't possibly – can Penix possibly look good enough that they say, sorry, Kirk?
Hey, no, you're not giving somebody $100 million for 2 years.
I don't know, my man. My man Penix can sling that thing. I don't know. Just saying. I mean, there's already heat. Can we just talk about this for a second? I know this is a side note, but it came out that Cousins decided to go with Atlanta because Minnesota told him they were going to draft a quarterback. I'm sure you've already talked about that this week.
I heard that too.
No, we haven't actually.
Okay. So I look back on the decision, if that did factor into Kirk Cousins' head, like, well, I'm going to Atlanta. I'm going to a franchise that's going to give me a big contract, a lot of talent. It's my opportunity to really, really shine here and try to go win a Super Bowl here. But now looking back on it, you're like, man, you might have ended up in – I don't want to say a worse situation because like the talent, the situation is great as far as like for him being a starter, but
correct.
I mean, they took a top 10 quarterback in Michael Penix and they didn't really tell you about it till last second. So
exactly
all those things. I feel like, I don't know, maybe you should have stayed in Minnesota. He had a lot more equity built up like with this correct. Atlanta locker room and situation. If things don't look good early on and Penix does look better, it's not like you can revert back to like the past couple seasons where you've played well for them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's to me, it reminds me of a really, really, really expensive version of Matt Flynn and Russell Wilson, both in terms of the contract and the draft pick, where Russ was a third round pick and Flynn wasn't given $100 million. But you know, the presumptive logic was Flynn's going to be the starter here. Well, if Kirk Cousins isn't fully back from his Achilles tear, or he's struggling to really push the ball and to like throw to tight windows, and Penix is out there. I think it was like somebody used a phrase like, what if Penix is out there throwing piss missiles all over the place? And
what's he can do?
And it's like, and he just looks better than Kirk Cousins. I mean, you Kirk have a responsibility.
Just because the money is that crazy.
Okay. I mean, that's like said,
the Flynn thing. The Flynn thing was a little different. Like Flynn came out in my class. I was happy for him, and then that Russell Wilson thing happened. And I was like, "Damn, my guy Matt Flynn can't catch a break." I mean, he still got paid, right? But he didn't get to extend his career because Russell took his job as a rookie.
Right. I mean, he still got paid. I mean, we saw, but I mean, it's, I don't know. I think it's more likely than not that Cousins starts, but I agree with you completely, Brady. I think he would have just figured out a way. If he had known, if the Falcons had told him before the new league year started that they would consider drafting a quarterback at 8th overall, then I think Kirk Cousins would have figured out a way to do a deal with Minnesota before the new league year started, because of that whole contractual stuff with the cap hit. And right. I think he would have gone back to Minnesota. And I think Minnesota would have passed on McCarthy at 11.
Maybe, because it sounds like in the report, at least, that Minnesota did talk about drafting.
Oh, no, they were thinking of a quarterback regardless. I think so, they wanted a succession plan.
It was more of like knowing the situation you're going back into in Minnesota. They're going to draft one too, and being blindsided by it in Atlanta. And I think the other like difference is just the equity you've built up. The wild card too is just a family component. Is you uprooted your family, granted for a great contract, but you were assuming he would have got that in Minnesota too.
And it's not like he needs money. I mean.
Well, okay, yeah. Like that's the thing. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You always want more.
You always want some more now.
When people throw out that stuff, I'm like, well, yeah, because like once you get to $300 million, you're like, all right, now I want to make $400, $500. Like it's
of course, but. Yeah. Right, but I'm saying that I don't think that, I mean, to a degree, the decision was about money because Minnesota didn't want to commit. But I think if all things were equal in terms of knowing that both teams were going to draft a quarterback and
you were going to get
maybe he never felt the respect from Kwesi and them, because we talked about that before, Brady, like in regards to not giving them the extension where they could have gave it to him last year. And then it's also
saying,
his wife
being saying all things are equal. Will said all things are equal. Like I think he stays, but obviously that's the issue, is it wasn't equal.
All right. We mentioned Michael Penix, of course, with Kirk Cousins. I think that's the longest shot there. JJ McCarthy. Does he start week one, or is it slinging Sammy Darnold?
I don't know if he does either. I feel like, look, outside of the turnover issue Sam Darnold had, he was darn good, man. At Southern Cal, his 2 years.
That's the issue, the turnovers.
Right, and it's unfortunately plagued him, but I also feel like this is a really good spot. Like, I feel like it's the best spot for all the rookies, but it's the best spot for a veteran trying to prove himself, too. Yeah. If you got Justin Jefferson to throw to, Jordan Addison, like, man. You DJ got some.
Hockenson.
Yeah, you got
some offensive linemen. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, this will be an interesting one, only because – I don't know that they will right away, but I feel like eventually JJ obviously will get his opportunity this year.
Correct.
I think that if you were going to pick, obviously Cousins and Penix would be the first, number one spot where you're like, this rookie doesn't see a single snap all season long. But then the number two would be Minnesota, where Sam Darnold plays. They win their first couple of games. The offense looks good. Flores has got the defense kind of cooking. You have Aaron Jones there now too, who's a great receiving back. There's just a lot of weapons. Kevin O'Connell, a fantastic offensive-minded coach. It just feels like a spot where, Darnold could hold him off for the entire year and Minnesota makes the playoffs, but also McCarthy could be the week one starter if he looks good. Bo Nix, that's the deal with Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham. He's 24 years old. I don't see how Bo Nix isn't the week one starter with what Sean Payton invested in him. It's a classic case of follow the money. And they're like Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham. Jared Stidham. He likes Stidham, of course, but
I was about to say, I think Stidham has an outside chance to at least start this season.
Okay. To start at some point. Yeah, for sure.
I think it's Bo Nix, and it's based on the premise that the reason why they wanted Bo Nix was his maturity. They felt like he picked up the offense when they brought him out and tested with him really well. So if those are the intangibles that you're excited about, you'd have to think that like they're gonna make this work. And if I'm Sean Payton too, I mean, that's what you're selling right now for this team. You know, the whole entire thing last year was you moved on from Russell Wilson after that whole debacle. The fastest way of forgetting about that is you play the guy you drafted to replace him. If you play Zach Wilson or Jared Stidham and then you have this transition to Bo Nix, it's kind of like, all right, does Sean Payton still have it? Can he still
–
these quarterbacks work? Because whoever you start outside of Bo Nix, he's not going to be playing well. That's why you're going to move on from him to Bo Nix, right? So, like, I think that is somewhere in the back of Sean Payton's mind as this year becomes that crucial year in his tenure in Denver.
I think he needs Bo Nix to win that starting job and to play well. For sure. Because if he doesn't, to your point, people will start saying – was it just Drew Brees? And that would be
a good question. I don't know. He revitalized Jameis Winston.
Yeah, and he Taysom Hill. We did have the Taysom Hill experiment. All right. That'll do it for us. We're going to wrap up there. Great talk on rookie life. Hashtag rook life. Rookie life. Whatever. Rook hashtag life. Salt laugh. I don't know. I was trying to come up with something. Didn't land. Doesn't always land. That's why you've got to be a volume.
Are you saying that because the joke about the salt life thing I told you once about my wife?
No.
Oh, God. So my wife misread that bumper sticker or sticker. Instead of salt life.
She thought it was
S-L-U. And I was like,
wow.
She was like, why would someone have a back of their car? I'm like,
Oh my goodness.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I was like, they're about the ocean, they're about like water sports. Exactly. She's like, what? I was like, oh yeah. So that's like the running joke every time you see it.
Goodness.
People are on sticking
with that one a little fast.
Advertising their promiscuity. Yeah.
I don't know how prevalent they are in South Florida. They're everywhere in Eastern North Carolina. Okay. So you see a lot of that
yeah, for hashtag sure.
loose life out there. That's fantastic. God, that's a great story. As soon as you said it, I was like, oh my God, it is what I think it is. Yep, sure is. All right. Everyone out there, live that hashtag salt life. thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. For News, for Brady, I'm Vince. We'll see you guys later.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo. Thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2. Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount+ to try it free. Terms apply.